sing and we worship and we praise the Lord. Let's lift our voices with more authority when we sing. Everybody with me on that? You just raise that with more authority, because those songs are declarative of God's word, and you are declaring with the words of scripture, the words of song, the truths and the promises of God. And so as we sing, just sing, we can sing lightly, but sing with more authority, and I challenge you to do that. So if you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 14 this morning, we're in a series on decisions and God's will. And so Exodus 14 this morning, we're going to look at two verses. I'll read them now. I'm going to refer to them, and we're going to study them in depth this morning. Exodus chapter 14, verses, the last two verses of chapter 14 that we have been going through for a long time now. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done. A couple of two or three of those songs that Pastor Chris led us in talked about celebrating the goodness of the Lord and looking at what he has done. These verses declare that right here. It says, verse 30 again, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So our focus this morning that we're going to zero in on is the last phrase. It says, so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. Can everybody say those words, believe the Lord? They believed the Lord. You got a little bit more. They believed the Lord. Father, this morning I pray, as we talk about faith this morning and believing you, I pray that you would just, where we all live, at our addresses, that, Lord, you'd help this passage to apply to our lives and our situations. In your name we pray. Amen. The word faith means to believe. It's a simple word translated in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. The word faith means believe. When we're making decisions with our life that we make every day, if we think about it, more of our decisions are made by faith than we would even care to think about. We all deal with phone calls, decisions at work, decisions in our families, in our homes, husband and wife, kids. We deal with phone calls, emails, texts, interactions, and we make decision after decision after decision, and if we think about it, those decisions involve faith. Some people live by more faith than others. I think about farmers. Man, when they plant those seeds, I mean, especially this year, oh my goodness. It's a tough year. It's a challenging year. Our shrubs are blooming late, and the farmers are out late. When they plant that seed that's cost a lot of money, they are praying by faith that those seeds will grow and the harvest is going to come. Those farmers, maybe some of you grew up in a farm that are in here, oh, love those people. Those people live by more faith than you and I do. We had I was doing some yard work and in our house, and we had to plant some grass. We had some different things, different places I need to fill in our yard, And I told Sue, she says, just go buy some more grass seed. I said, hey, wait. I said, I've got some grass seed in a bag in my cabinet in the garage. And I was trying to convince her. I says, I'm going to give it a try. She says, how long has it been? I said, I think it's been there maybe 8 years. I mean, these dead little grass seeds, they're in a bag in our little metal cabinet in the garage, and try to be, you know, kids safe that I got a metal cabinet, and it's in there. But 8 years, I mean, these dead little seeds. I'm not going to go buy any new ones. I'm trying these, and we're having this conversation. Oh, she said, those things, that grass is not going to grow. How many know when somebody tells you it's not going to happen, you're going to go give it a try? So I go take that grass seed out there, and I sprinkle it with my, I wasn't very big here, I could sprinkle it with my hand through my fingers, and I get it all out there. She goes out there a couple days later, it ain't working. It ain't working. I go out there 7 days later, whoop, that dead, dormant, old grass seed with a little sunshine, a little water, it just, whew, faith came to life. You go buy a car. You go to the car lot. You don't know where that car's been. You don't know where it came from. You drive it off the lot, and by faith, you hope that thing's going to run. And most times they do. We live by faith more than we admit. When we can say faith makes some reasonable assumptions. We take a shower, hopefully every day, every other day, once a week, you know, whatever we do it. You're under the shower, some of you take a bath, but you got that nozzle up above you, and we don't jump up and down hoping that the water will come through. By a reasonable estimate of assumption, by faith, the water's going to come through, hopefully hot. Right? We live that way every day. It's amazing the things we take for granted. We eat our cereal in the morning, or whatever you eat. It's got milk on it. You know where that milk has been? Some cow ate some grass, some dirty old grass, and then they regurgitated it up a bunch of times in their stomach. It's by God's mercy, it turns into milk. It gets taken care of, cleaned up, pasteurized, and you drink that beautiful, clean milk. And I guarantee everybody in this room, we live by faith every day more than we dare to admit in our lives. Even the sincere atheist lives by faith, not only in his atheistic philosophy, but in the process and procedures of everyday life. God created this universe that the faith principle is always at work. For Christians, faith is making reasonable assumptions about God's care and control over our lives based on biblical promises. Now, for us as Christians, let me just give you the simplest definition I can of faith. Faith is to believe in God and believe that he's taking care of us. To believe in God and believe that he is taking care of you. Simplest I can give you. I've been thinking about this all week. And as we go through our week and we deal with our problems, we deal with difficulties, we deal with challenges, it's saying, God, I believe you, and I believe that you're going to take care of me and the people that are around me. That's the kind of God that you are. So we have studied God's miraculous parting of the Red Sea for 9 messages, and I have one. Today is the 9th, and one more to go after this. Pastor, why? No matter what challenge you face in life, I want you to know that you serve a God that has a past history, experience, expertise, skill, and power to part the Red Seas that you face in your life. The biblical occurrences of what happens here in Exodus 14 are mentioned numerous times in the Bible, and they're there for numerous times in the Bible for a reason, and that is that you would know that God is building your faith for the future. My dad and I were having a conversation about my series, and he'd been a pastor for some 50 years, and he's sitting over there. And he took me to a verse in the scripture that that spells it out well about why God uses this story through multiple places in scripture and its purpose. If you have your Bible, okay, hold your hand in Exodus 14 for a minute. Go to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. You're going to need your Bibles a bunch this morning, okay? So Romans chapter 15, verse 4. I thought I had this on the screen. I don't think I have it on the screen. Romans 15 and verse 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans 15 and verse 4. Look at this. It says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So my dad said one of the first, was this true, one of the scriptures he had to memorize, you had to memorize in Bible school, right, Dad? Was that verse. That we through these lessons of the scripture might find patience and comfort that we our lives, this is New Testament, that all of us in this room might have hope. That's why I'm spending so much time, because when you face a problem in your life coming up, maybe it's now, maybe it's in the future, I want it to be crystal clear in your mind that you say, Matt, my pastor taught me that there's a God who parts the sea. You get bad news on a phone call tomorrow, you get some issue that comes up, pastor taught me Exodus 14, I serve a God, whatever I'm facing, whatever deal that I got to deal with, I serve a God who can part the sea, and he can do it for me also. How many can say amen that he can do that for all of us in this room? Can we just say something in unison this morning? Two phrases. I'm going to say it first, and then I'll have you repeat it after me in two parts. The Lord parted the Red Sea, and he can part my Red Sea. Okay, say the first part with me. The Lord parted the Red Sea, and he can part my Red Sea. One more time. The Lord parted the Red Sea, and he can part my Red Sea. So we see in our text here, let's look at our text one more time. It's up on the screen, verse 30 and then verse 31. Let's just look at it again, survey it, and I'm going to walk us through this morning. Verse 30. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. The Lord saved Israel that day, or the Lord delivered Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians. They actually saw them dead on the seashore. Verse 31, look what it says. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So last week, I'm not going to go through the whole review of the whole series, but you can listen to it online. But let me just give you last week. We talked about strategy 8 is trust God to deliver in his own unique way. So when they came, there's never been this Red Sea parting. Has never happened since God did it again at the Jordan River. They had no bridges. That's the way God had to get them through. He did it in his own unique way for them. Remember the story I told last Sunday about the mushrooms growing at the founders of the Pacific Garden Mission? Remember that? Whoa, never before, never after. God grew mushrooms so that they could pay the rent, and that thing still exists today. That was in 1877, because we serve a God who supplies and helps us. So trust God to deliver in his own unique way. And strategy number 9 this morning is this. Use your current crisis to build your faith for the future. This was a crisis. When the Egyptian army was coming at them, it was an absolute crisis. But as we end chapter 14, God is saying to them, as they believe the Lord, he's saying, take it as a marker that you will see how I'm going to help you in the future. So use whatever you're dealing with, however God gets you through whatever you're dealing with, use that as a marker to build your faith for the future. So let's just walk through this a little bit. And let me give you an example of that from the New Testament. Jesus, I was reading in Mark chapter 6 this week, my devotions. And Jesus is going about healing in the villages where he'd calmed the water, the storm in the water, and now he's healing people. When he started to heal people, everybody started to catch wind. And because of what he did for them, they believed he could do it for them. People were using what he did for them to build faith for them that he could do it for them also. So let me give you an example. At the end of Mark chapter 6, it's an amazing verse. The people were so, by what they had seen Jesus doing in healing, they actually put people on beds and were carrying them into town, sick people on beds, to try to find Jesus because of what he had connected. Could you imagine like that? He just starts healing a few people and people start carrying sick people around on beds into Pier here somewhere. I mean, that would be a sight. But that's what they did in Mark chapter 6. Because they had seen God work, it built their faith for the future that God could do it for those that were close to them. I love that scene. So let me just talk about four lessons that we can pick up from our text. And I've kind of centered them about this, and I'm using kind of a building theme for at least three of the points, about embracing the architect of our faith. How many of you know that the architect of our faith is God? The architect of our faith is God. We'll talk about that more in a moment. So number one this morning, faith is built day by day. Faith is built day by day. It says that the Lord saved Israel that day. I was captured by this word that day. What a day that was. It was just one day, but it was a miraculous day. It was one day. But as you think about our lives, God takes us one day at a time, and we deal with one situation at a time, one minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time, and we deal with situations in our life, and our faith is built, if we'll allow it to be built, one day at a time. You're building a house, you're building a commercial building, you're building a deck. It's done one board at a time, one brick at a time, one nail at a time, one screw at a time. That's the way things are built. A mom is at home with the kids, a problem arises. God helps her to solve that problem. It gives her faith that she can solve the next problem and the next problem after that. A man is at work, and he's at work at the workplace, and he got a problem, you got to solve it. It gives you faith that you can solve the next one and the next one and the next one, and it's built on one day at a time as we go through life. A kid in school faces a test. He or she has faith that they can pass the test. And when they pass the test, they go to the next one and the next one and the next one, that they are going to go forward a day at a time. Our faith is built. But on that day, God did something tremendous on that day. You have faith that your next paycheck is going to be there on your payday or in your bank account. You pay one bill at a time, and you have faith to pay the next bill. That's the way life is lived. Faith is built a day and a step at a time. So do you have faith today? This story hopefully builds our faith. If God parted the waters for them, we believe that he can do it for us in our experiences. The truth is, we all experience one or two major life crises and then multiple battles to work through in our life. We want our lives to be perfect, but guess what? God has a plan that he's working things out in our life, right? Don't we all want our life to be perfect? It doesn't happen that way, does it? If your life is perfect, see me afterwards, okay? And you tell me the secret, okay? But we all have challenges, and sometimes there's those one or two or three biggies in life that can really redefine you. And this was a biggie. When the armies were coming after them, when Pharaoh's army was coming after them, it was a major crisis. But God got them through it. And he says, I want you to use this crisis, how I get you through this, to be a platform of how to build your faith into the future. How many of you in this room, you've gone through something really major in your life, and God's got you through it? Well, obviously, you're sitting here. Raise your hand. So God's got you through it. Just raise your hand. Look at this. Look at this. Is what I'm saying true? When God got you through that, did it help you to get face the next battle? Raise your hand. Yeah, look at that. This principle is true. Now, God makes us more spiritually mature as we go through things. James chapter 1. Are you guys in Romans? Go to James chapter 1 a minute. Go to James chapter 1. Hebrews, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. I don't think I have these scriptures are up on the screen. I don't think they are. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I'm still trying to figure out that one, okay? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your what? Your faith. The testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. One translation says mature and complete. This is like God's forced education plan. You know that we're all forced to go to school, right? Grades 1 through 12 at least. It's a forced education plan. And what does that forced education plan do? It makes us stronger on the other end, correct? This is like God's, when we go through trials, it's like God's forced education plan to make us stronger at the end and make us more mature and more complete. Or it's like this, we all hate this. exercise is a curse most of the time. I like to exercise once in a while. We were up in Door County, Sue and I were on Wednesday, rode 20 miles up on the up on near Gill's Rock and on that nice little windy road, you know, up in that you take those pictures of that windy road, the fall, it's just gorgeous. And we rode that on our bikes. And then we decided to go further and we didn't realize how many hills there were. And we'd gone 10 miles. We rode down to Ellison Bay and up along the thing and we come back up and I mean, it is hilly. I got off the bike. I'm like going like this. I can't stand up at the end of it. And whoa. But this is, and nobody likes to be forced to exercise, okay? But this is like God's forced education plan. It's his forced exercise plan. But the result at the end is to make us stronger, to build our faith for the future. The testing of our faith makes us more mature and more complete. And he does that. Jesus uses terminology in the New Testament and varying degrees of great faith. He uses that a couple times. Little faith, no faith, increase our faith. In other words, what was Jesus saying? That there is the potential for our faith to be built day by day. So in our text in verse 31, it says, they feared the Lord and they believed God out of the circumstances and it set them up for the future. Just a little neat illustration. There's a slide of a frog. Let me tell you about this frog. There's a girl in Fort Worth, Texas. Her name was Carrie, 14 years old. And she had a jewelry collection of frogs. She had a trinket collection of frogs. She just loved frogs. And it was pointed out about her life about why she liked frogs so much, because in her, this is a 14-year-old girl, her name was Cassie, and you'll probably never forget this, but it was her way of defining faith. Frog, fully rely on God, as an acronym. Fully rely on God. Isn't that a great definition? Fully rely on God. Yeah, fully. All right, everybody get it? You'll get it this afternoon if you don't get it now. Fully rely on God. What a great definition. Our faith is built daily by fully relying on God. Someone put, a guy by the name of Brian Simons, was describing Psalm 139:5 this way. I like this. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart blessing to me. Faith is built daily by relying on God. The Lord delivered Israel that day. He did it so that they would believe him for the future. Number two this morning, the authority of our faith is in God's authorship, promises, and word. And so in our text, it says, in verse 30, it says, so the Lord. When you think of that word Lord, it really in the scripture means master, savior, ruler. The Lord has authority over our life to dictate the course of our life and the things that he's the Lord of our life. And I've been thinking about this, the authority of our faith. Our faith, which is something that we believe, it's subjective. It has to have an authority. We have been, our trustees and myself, have been working on selling the land across the street that was gifted to us a couple years ago. And we have been working on it. The first offer we had was like September 1st of last year. And we lost that offer because the city was undeveloped and to put sewer and water in there was just expensive. That one fell through. And then we got a second offer. And that second offer we've been working on from January. It's still been in process. And it will close probably in the next couple of weeks. But I was looking at some of the paperwork this week about how many authoritative processes that has taken to go through. And how this idea of things are built a step at a time and need authority. So when that thing started going through the city council, it had to go through a rezoning. It had to go to the staff at the city hall. It had to get approved by them. It had to get approved by the planning commission. Then the rezoning had to, on May 21st, with 6-0 vote, was approved by the city council. And then, now it's in process to go through another approval for the precise implementation plan of the twin dominiums that are going to go across the street. And then, now tomorrow, they're going to have another meeting, and the staff is already recommending it. And tomorrow it's going to go through the planning commission, and then next Tuesday it's going to go through the city council. And all those authoritative steps to give authority to just put a few buildings across the street. It comes with authority. When I was looking at it, and that's not all the steps. They're not going to start putting, now we're going to close in the next 2-3 weeks, praise the Lord, but there's still not all the steps. I was reading through 34 pages of paperwork this week. They can't put the sewer and water in until next August. I told our trustee, I said, I think they're going to start building in the next couple weeks. No, they're going to put the sewer and water in next September, and they're not going to start building over there until January of 2021. Okay, so my point being is there's authoritative steps that we've had to walk through. Our faith has to have authority. Now, what I want to do is the authority of our faith is in God's authorship, his promises, and his word. And so it says here in verse 30, so the Lord prescribed this. So on the authority of the Lord, this action of the water parting and making a way for them, it was on the authority of the Lord. Scripture says in Hebrews 12:2, that looking unto Jesus, the what? The author and finisher of our faith. The truth is, we can't even have faith unless the Lord authors it. He's the author. He's the beginner. The scripture says that we have mustard seed faith. Have you ever pulled some mustard seed? I think we got some in the cupboard somewhere. It's just this tiny little seed. The Lord can implant a tiny little seed of mustard seed, and that faith can grow. If you've seen a mustard tree, it's a huge thing. But it starts with a little, and it grows. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you, listen to this, he who began a good work in you, well, what? He'll complete it to the end. How many of you glad that God's not going to leave you unfinished? He's going to complete it. He begins a good work, he authors a good work in you, and then a good work of faith, and then he's going to complete it. We're all at different places in this room. We're all at different levels of faith and growth, and God accepts it. He loves us all the same, even though we're at different places, but he's the author. He is the authority that put that place, that faith in our heart. He will complete it even when our faith looks fickle. How many of you know that our faith is kind of fickle at times? Now, let me give you an example. I was reading in Mark, the beginning of Mark. Jesus goes over to Peter's house, and Peter's wife's mother was very sick in bed. And Jesus goes in there and heals Peter's mother-in-law. Now, there's some of you right now say, Pastor, if I saw a miracle, I would believe, I would have faith, and nothing would change anything, nothing would take it away. You're wrong. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, and guess what happened? Who was it the one denying being with Jesus 3 times at the end of the Gospels? Peter. Our faith is fickle. You know, when he parted the Red Sea, guess how long it was that they were complaining that they didn't have enough food and stuff? Just like most of us guys in this room. It was about 2 or 3 days. And they were complaining. They were complaining. They had just watched God part the water. And it took them 2 or 3, they thought, oh, if I just saw God do something like that, I wouldn't complain. You look in your life, when God does something good in your life, just measure how many days till you start complaining again. It just makes us sick. But the truth, our faith, but God is the author. It doesn't change the authority of his, of what he puts in our heart, the declaration of faith he puts in our heart, even though in our humanness, we are fickle at times. Our faith is based on the authority of his truth, his promises, his word. How many of you, God, thank God it's not on us. Scripture references to God's authority and promise. I'm not going to give you the passages. I'm going to just give you 4 phrases from the scripture that he uses relating to this. Believing, and here's a part of a scripture. Believing that what the Lord has said to us, he will be accomplished. Another one. Being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. Thirdly, believing that things will happen just as he has told us. And fourth, considering him faithful who has given us his promises. God promised them in verse 13, he says, these Egyptians who you see today, you'll see again no more. And God accomplished his word. When he said that in verse 13, he completed his word. He told them, you're not going to see this problem anymore with these Egyptians. He says, I'm going to wipe them out. And God was true to his word. A little girl by the name of Melody, she was a pastor's daughter, and her dad was in the living room, and he was reading a book. And she went in and tapped him on the shoulder like a lot of kids will do and said, Daddy, would you build me a dollhouse? And the pastor daddy, he said, this is in Houston, Texas, a true story. He said, yeah, I'll build you a dollhouse. And she went off and he went back to reading his book. A few minutes later, the little girl Melody had gone in, talked to the mom, and a few minutes later, he looks out the window, and she is carrying little dolls out in the front yard and making a pile. She's taking her little dishes, and she's making a pile out in the yard. And all of a sudden, he sees that, and he goes to his wife, and he says, what's Melody doing out in the yard? He said, you told her that you would build her a dollhouse. She believed you and took you at your word, and she's putting all the stuff out there believing that you're going to go build the dollhouse. See, what I'm telling you today is when God's promises in his word, God tells us his truth, his promises of his word are faithful. When God says it, he will accomplish it. He will protect us. He will deliver us. He'll help us. He'll take care of us in all of our lives. Faith is built day by day. Faith's authority is in the authorship, the promises of God's very word himself. Number three this morning is our foundation of faith. Now, this is going to touch some of you that really like to study your Bibles a little bit. And we're going to open our Bibles up a little bit. And I'm going to show you the foundation of faith that's connected to Israel. So some of you, just hang on, and you're going to grow something. I felt the Holy Spirit just want me to nail this down. In the geopolitical world that we live in, you need to understand Israel is central to our faith. And he says it. It says the Lord saved who this day? Well, who did he save? That's weak. The Lord saved who? Israel. Now let's understand that. Because Israel is central to our faith. And you need to understand that in the day that we live in, and you see, and isn't it amazing that you see Israel in the news on a regular basis? Because God is trying to send a message, and it has to do with your faith, whether you realize it or not. So I'm going to give you five things under this point, just briefly, and you can write these down. I'm not going to turn to all these scriptures. I'll turn to a couple of them, and I'm going to show you, but I want you to see these five things about how Israel is connected to our faith and his actions that were taken here in Exodus 14, how it still applies to us today, how it's still so relevant. The first is this. Israel is named in the earliest part of civilization in history by God. So it's actually Genesis 32, 28, where he names Jacob and he calls him Israel. That's where we see the first name being called. Now, open your Bible. And so in Exodus chapter 14 here, he uses the word Israel seven times. This is the seventh time, I believe, or actually it's the children of Israel seven times. It might be even more than that, that he's using. It says the Lord saved Israel. The word Israel is actually more times than seven. So here we're talking about the very beginning of civilization, the very beginning of history that is still in existence today. We're still talking about today, and he's trying to send a message through it. So just by the sheer mention of it here at the beginning of civilization history in the Bible. Number two, Israel is a land and a people ordered and ordained by God. Now turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12 for a moment. I want to show you how to find this in your Bible. Genesis chapter 12. So Israel is a land and a people ordered and ordained by God. When you hear people at the workplace, you hear people in political commentary talking about Israel not important. I want to tell you, Israel is really important. I'm showing you the basis in the scripture. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, and now look at this phrase, to the land that I will show you. To the land that I will show you. That is, he's directing them to Canaan, which is modern-day Israel. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. That is really important today. Those that bless Israel, God will bless. Those that curse Israel, God will curse. And in your families, all the earth shall be blessed. Now look over to verse 5. It says, then Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions, and they gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. That is modern day Israel that we would know. That Canaan would be west of the Jordan River in its about current location. So Israel is a land and a people ordered by God. Look over to chapter 15. Just flip over to a couple verses here. Genesis 15. A couple chapters. Look at verse 6. And Abram, who's later become Abraham, verse 6, very important verse in, to understand Scripture and understanding faith. And he believed in the Lord. What's our text in Exodus 14? They believed the Lord. Look what it says here. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him, he is the Lord, accounted to him for righteousness. Can we all read this verse together? It's so important. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. That's still true for us today. By you putting your faith in Jesus, he accounts righteousness to you. He accounts righteousness to you. Verse 7, then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans. Ur is located in modern-day Iraq. That was where his family came from. And about 500 miles distance, I believe, to the coast, to Canaan. I brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. This land to inherit it. Now look over to verse 18. You'll see the definition of land. The same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. Let me explain where that's at. So what God gave to Abram was from the great river of Egypt. That's the Nile River that I showed you up in a homemade map a few weeks ago. From the Nile River all the way to the Euphrates River, which is in modern-day Iraq. You remember that a few years ago in the Iraq War, they were fighting in the Euphrates River, and they're kind of going through it? Very same place. About a 500-mile stretch of land. So when you see that stuff in the news, that territory, know that you're talking about God's land. I know Jordan resides there. Saudi Arabia is partly there. Iraq's partly there. But that's God's land. Canaan, the more specific part, is what we'd be known as modern-day Israel today. So Israel is a land and a people ordered and ordained by God. Now, the people part of it is in Genesis, in Genesis 28:15, it says, you're going to go and you're going to return from that land. You're going to go and return. He told Jacob, you're going to go and you're going to return to that land, which is true of history. And the other one is in Genesis 32:28, where he says to Jacob, you are going to be called Israel. And the tribes of Israel came out of that. So you're understanding where faith came from, the formation of faith, and Israel central to our faith. Three this morning on that. Jesus is coming back and will enter the earth in Israel on the Mount of Olives on the edge of Jerusalem. You got to know that. It says it in Zechariah. It says, in the coming of the Lord, verse 1, he's going to come and he's going to put his feet down on the Mount of Olives. That's where he's coming back to. So how many of you know that Israel is pretty important if that's where Jesus is coming back? Does that sound like that's central to your faith? It's central to your faith. And I'm calling it a foundation. It is a foundation from the earliest parts of civilization, a foundation from the earliest parts of history, that Jesus is coming back on the Mount of Olives, which is just on the edge of Jerusalem. It is right there. That's where he's coming back. That's why Israel is so important to your faith and to my faith. Number 4. If you've welcomed Jesus into your heart, he promises to watch over you and protect you and deliver you as he did Israel from your Red Sea experiences. So what is he saying in this? And I'll take you to the scripture in just a moment in the New Testament. So if you in this room, he's saying that in this idea of faith, that if your faith, if you welcome Jesus into your heart, it's the same God that is protecting and watching over and delivering us in our life. And it says this in 2 Timothy 4:8. Look at the scripture. I gave this to you last week. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Okay? Number five, and this is the other part of this. This Israel's foundation. When we as believers die, listen to this, we go to heaven, which is called in the scripture, listen to what is it called? The New Jerusalem. Whoa. How many of you think this place is a foundation to our faith? Revelation 21, verse 2, verse 4, verse 10. And in that place, there's going to be it's going to be a place of peace where there's no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. What a place. What a hope that we have. It's called the New Jerusalem. You have to know that in this room. I don't care what the news perpetuates, what people at the workplace perpetuate, whatever garbage you hear, I'm telling you, and the Holy Spirit wants me to zero this in, you know a foundation of your faith. The Lord saved Israel that day, and he's been saving Israel every day forward to today. That's why it's so significant. Now, let me just tell you, you say, Pastor, well, what if somebody in our family dies of cancer? What if somebody, stuff happens, tragedy happens? It is. But this is our hope of faith. The little frog story that I told you about a few moments ago, Cassie, when it came out that that was her trinket theme, jewelry theme, that was her theme, Cassie was gunned down at a church youth rally in Dallas, Texas, at Wedgwood Baptist Church. That story I told you was told about at her funeral. She, as a 14-year-old, learned to fully rely on God. Did that mean that everything was, in this life, perfectly worked out? But as she fully relied on God, frog, where did she end up? She ended up in the New Jerusalem. She ended up in heaven, where there's no more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. God is still, even at the end of our life, he's watching over us and he's taking care of us, and he has a beautiful place for us that he is watching. That's why I love it when the scripture says in verse 30, and the Lord saved Israel that day and going forward for a prime purpose. Last, and we're done this morning, number four, faith sees our reward. Let's just take a moment. I like this in verse 30 and 31. It says this, that they saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. God says, I'm going to wipe them out, and they saw it. And then verse 31 says, they saw the great work of the Lord. We just sang about that. We see the great work of the Lord. They saw it. Faith sees a reward. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 6, it says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I put in quotes, yet. When God says, the Egyptians who you see, you'll see them again no more, they were still around. But it says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen yet. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How many of you are glad that he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him? He is your rewarder. When you follow him, when you put faith in him, he will reward that faith, and you'll see him like you raised your hand where he's come through in your life. He's gonna answer requests. He's gonna see you through in multiple situations and battles and difficulty and crisis. He's gonna see. I love this statement. My wife had pointed this out to me one time. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him by what? By faith. Part of their reward was at the verse 31, it says they believed the Lord, and they believed the Lord more fully. Our relationship with God is based on faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved, what? Through faith, that not, what? Of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Can I tell you, your faith today, just like Abram, Your faith, his faith was accounted for righteousness. Your faith is accounted for righteousness in God through Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for you. Faith, it's so important. If you're in this room and you have not put your faith fully in Jesus, I invite you to do it today. Don't put it off. We don't know what our tomorrow is. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face we shall see him. Oh, I love that. So faith is built day by day. Faith's authority is based on God's authorship, promises, and words. Our foundation of faith is connected to Israel, and faith sees our reward. Let's stand together this morning. So, church, can I tell you, whatever you're going through this week, whatever decisions you're dealing with, you're going to say, you know what? I got this situation I don't like. It doesn't feel comfortable. But God, use this current situation I'm dealing with to build faith for the future. As I see you come through on this, you're going to come through on the next one. You're going to come through on the next one. Use whatever it is and say, God, you're going to come through again and again and again. And then we sing that song that you sang, the goodness of the Lord, he's been faithful to me. I love that. I love that. So I'm going to invite our prayer partners to come forward. And there's something you're going through. You want somebody to pray for you at the end. Maybe you need to give your heart and life to, you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Just have one of them pray for you. And what song are you going to sing here? Amen. Let's do the goodness of the Lord, goodness of God. I'm going to ask you to sing this with authority this morning as we close out the service. And it's declaring that God, your goodness, you've been faithful. And you're going to lead me to the next step of faith. And when I dismiss the service in just a moment, let's sing this through. And if you've got something to pray for, you can come during while we're singing, or you can come after the song is done. And they're here to pray with you. You just need somebody to pray with you if there's something you're going through. You need to put your faith in Jesus. You can do that. Let's just sing this right now.